You could go ahead and build your own coding and mapping notification system, but it takes time, and it sucks. Alternately, consider Courier, who's sponsoring this episode. They make it easy. You can call a single send API for all of your notifications and channels. You can control the complexity around routing, retries, and deliverability, and simplify your notification sequences with automation rules. Visit courier.com today and get started for free. If you wind up talking to them, tell them that I sent you and watch them wince, because everyone does when you bring up my name. That's the glorious part of being me. Once again, you could build your own notification system, but why on God's flat earth would you do that? Visit courier.com today to learn more. Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. Before we begin today, I'd like to congratulate my podcast producer, who's also the CEO of HumblePod, Chris Hill, on the birth of his daughter. Congratulations, good job, enjoy the lack of sleep, and I fully expect to hear that for the rest of this episode and many to come, the sound of the baby crying in the background. For once, it won't be my baby crying in the background. Now let's see what happened last week in the wide world of AWS, shall we? Announcing general availability of Amazon EC2 VT1 instances, the first EC2 instance optimized for video transcoding. You know, I have a really, really hard time taking these EC2 instance families seriously in any way, given how increasingly specialized their stated use case is. What's next? An EC2 instance optimized for Twitter shitposting between the 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. Pacific time hours? Announcing Amazon MSK Connect. Run serverless, scalable Kafka Connect clusters in Amazon MSK. Of course, this is a different service entirely from Amazon Connect, which is itself different from Direct Connect, because it does things that are worlds removed. Why would you ever think that multiple things with the words Amazon Connect in them would be even slightly alike? How silly of you. Announcing Amazon Redshift RSQL, a command line client for interacting with Amazon Redshift clusters and databases. AWS flirts ever closer with being able to charge fractions of a penny every time you run a command on your local laptop. Amazon SES now supports emails with a message size of up to 40 megabytes. Cool, cool. Gmail auto-truncates anything larger than 102 kilobytes, and the default postfix attachment size is 10 megabytes, and most people don't configure that differently until users complain, but go you, I suppose. Announcing Build on AWS for Startups. If there's one thing startups love, it's a pile of CloudFormation templates that spin up a sea of random services that they don't understand nor particularly want in their environment. AWS CodeBuild now supports a small ARM machine type. CodeBuild remains my favorite AWS service for launching a containerized job on a schedule. It offers bigger containers than Fargate, simpler management of scheduling the task, and pricing that's competitive. Now it becomes the first AWS container service to offer a managed Graviton 2 experience. How Palantir Foundry helps customers build and deploy AI-powered decision-making applications. Go Palantir. Someday AWS is going to realize that not every customer reference is a good customer reference, but that day is apparently not today. Say hello to 74 new AWS competency, service delivery, service ready, and MSP partners added in August. Apparently, you can just slap any random word or words you'd like between AWS and competency, and you stand a decent chance of stumbling over a real one. I have a hard time imagining that most clients would bother to check to see if it was a real thing. Note, please do not defraud customers. I don't recommend it. AWS IQ Expansion. Connect with experts and consulting firms based in the UK and France. Certified people in the UK and France can now underbid on various projects that unreasonable customers expect to be completed for a tiny fraction of what they should cost. Connect any Kubernetes cluster to Amazon EKS. Why on earth would someone want to do this? To manage their Kubernetes cluster via the AWS console, as per what this post says. How crap-ass is the native Kubernetes management experience if the AWS console is somehow considered to be an upgrade?
how to localize web content and detect customer sentiment more effectively with AWS solutions. Customer sentiment rapidly turns against AWS every time a build-it-your-damned-self AWS solution is presented to them, at a guess. Launch Amazon SageMaker Studio from external applications using pre-signed URLs. After untold billions spent on machine learning, SageMaker has now taught us that the AWS console login process is so dismal that we will see serious service adoption uptick via bypassing it. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chaos Search. You could run Elasticsearch or Elastic Cloud or OpenSearch, as they're calling it now, or a self-hosted Elk Stack. But why? Chaos Search gives you the same API you've come to know and tolerate, along with unlimited data retention and no data movement. Just throw your data into S3 and proceed from there as you would expect. This is great for IT operations folks, for app performance monitoring, cybersecurity. If you're using Elasticsearch, consider not running Elasticsearch. They're also available now in the AWS Marketplace if you'd prefer not to go direct and have half of whatever you pay them count toward your EDP commitment. Discover what companies like Klarna, Equifax, Armor Security, and Blackboard already have. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io and tell them I sent you just so you can see them facepalm yet again. Amazon SES configuration for an external SMTP provider with Auth0. I was really hoping that the delusion levels around how much work customers are willing to do were high enough to justify this being a post about how to integrate SES with Amazon Cognito. Apple Mail's iOS 15 privacy protection impact to senders. Good for Apple. On the last week in AWS newsletter, we've stopped publishing open and click metrics ourselves just because it's not a valuable signal for how the newsletter is performing and we don't like tracking our readers. The real metric is how many AWS employees get very upset with me after a given issue publishes. How Ryanair governs their image distribution using EC2 Image Builder. For once, Ryanair is the company saying, "What the hell is this random surcharge?" Visualize and gain insights into your AWS cost and usage with Cloud Intelligence dashboards using Amazon QuickSight. This blog post is the equivalent of you calling your cell phone provider for help with understanding your cell phone bill, only their response is to send you a text that's just a picture of a walrus mauling a gazelle. Then, on your next bill, you get a $40 surcharge for that picture. Join us for AWS Content Delivery Network Edge Week. Huh, I could have sworn that Edge Week was supposed to be in November. Only a few of you will get that joke. I'm sorry. AWS Lambda Metrics support for Amazon Managed Service for Prometheus now available in AWS Distro for OpenTelemetry. That's right, original AWS Things support for AWS implementation of an open source thing is now available in an open source project for which AWS is the largest/virtually only contributor. Try to contain your excitement. AWS opens data center design facility in Croatia. The stated purpose of this facility is a thin veneer over its true project, exploring which Croatian words can be repurposed into the future names of AWS services. Amazon Slatostrovsky is just a matter of time. And finally, what you need to know about the executive order on improving the nation's cybersecurity and how AWS can help. Joe Biden inadvertently finds himself in the running for AWS Salesperson of the Year. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. I'll talk to you later in the week.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.